Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, learning that Star-Lord with idiots.
Hello, and welcome to Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where a bunch of grown men think that holding a lightsaber with the pointy end faced first is proper procedure. With that, let's turn it over to our lore master, Ranger J1999, and the buffoons, Rambam001, Karth, and Kashmir.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Rioscued Gamers Star Wars Lore with Idiots, where yours truly, Ranger J1999, your lore master, tries to teach a bunch of idiots Star Wars lore, and it usually goes to hell in a handbasket pretty quickly. And by that, I have three wonderful idiots here that are going to help us learn the lore. Before we do that, let me get through my spiel like we do on every video. If you like the content, think about coming to Patreon. Patreon supports the content that we're putting out, and if we get to $1,000 in overall patrons, then my golly, a lot of good stuff's going to happen. We'll take this to a weekly show, and we'll have none other than Ram actually be the lore master for one of these, and he'll cover Mace, and I get to be the heckler, aka the idiot, and have fun with that. Leave comments on the video. I've had some good comments and feedback and things. And just remember, I'm doing this in a general sense. I don't get into the minutiae details on these lore, and it's nice to see you guys. We had one guy, you know, put it in some extra stuff, tidbits and stuff on the lore videos, which I liked. I don't have his name in front of me, but yeah, do that. Leave comments, talk about the lore, all that stuff. You're more than welcome. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe, all that stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Humana, humana, humana. That being said, let's introduce the idiots that are joining us like they do at every time that we record this. Of course, we start with Carthaginicus, aka Carthric, who is joining us.
Oh, not too much, you know, just relaxing and winding and, you know, things.
Yes, and have things dropping in your coffee edition.
Yes, it falls in. I can't help it. Yes. Can't stop it.
You can't, it just, yeah, it's fine.
It is what it is.
Also joining us, we've got Big K joining us, Kashmir.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ah, very nice. And then last but not least, we've got Rambam.
Well, hello.
Oh, God. And if people wonder why we drink when we record these. Now you know why. Speaking of that, what is everybody drinking? Yeah, because of you. Yeah, your mental damage. Emotional brain ramage. So what's everybody drinking? I'm just drinking some bourbon and Coke Zero, because, you know, I don't, you know. Kaz, you're always drinking something fine. What are you drinking today?
Today I'm just going with a little Wild Turkey 101.
Hey, ooh. That's a good call, my friend. An excellent choice, Smithers. Rambam, what are you sipping on?
Well, hold on.
Sipping on Orphan Tears.
Yeah, you would.
Sorry, I had something in my mouth. So I'm just going to say, me and Kashmir, we on the same page. You got a little bit of Wild Turkey going on.
A little Wild Turkey, no. Two for two on the Wild Turkey. Okay. Well, unless Karth subliminally picked up what they were drinking and put that in his coffee. I don't think that's what's in his coffee right now.
It is not, no.
Okay, what fell in there today, Karth?
Oh, look, a little bit of Irish cream.
A little Irish cream, okay.
Couple other things.
Whatever I can get my hands on. I found some mouthwash that has some alcohol in there. I put that shit in. It's real good. It's a tasty.
You know, just try to get the flavor right. Yeah.
Extra vanilla. It's got
vanilla stuff.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're all sipping on. I hope you're enjoying something, some tasty beverages when you're listening to this. Now, we usually, we can go a lot of different ways, but when we introduce these, I always, because they never get it, one day they will match up to what the topic will be, but I'll ask the idiots, what do you guys think the topic for what we are covering today is? Let's, who wants to be our pick? Let's go with Ram.
Well, yeah, you know, naturally.
And you can't say Mace, nothing race related. Not the actor, not anybody related to the actor, nothing associated with the character or the character. So pick something else, Ram. Try again.
I wasn't going to go that route.
You're such a liar.
I was thinking that we go a little bit off the walls here. And I'm thinking that, you know, back in 1973, George Lucas created this amazing universe called Star Wars.
He did.
And so he had a brother of Leia that was originally designed. And everybody thinks it's Luke, but it was actually called Wendy Marstrap. And I'm thinking we might be talking about him today.
That is so out of left field.
I mean, Ram, really need to cut down the crack cocaine, right, dude. No, I mean, not even going to objectively confirm or deny the nonsense that just came out of your mouth right now. All right. Now that we have had that answer, I can't wait for the next two. Big K, what do you got for me, brother?
I didn't know if we're, still going to be talking about the Sith. So I was thinking that we were going to talk about what if instead of being Force users, Sith were actually championship bakers.
I'm just ignoring you. Just this awful. What? How do you even make that correlation? What the hell are you talking about? You potato.
Well, I figured we'd change it up instead of like just going over just the old.
Where
war,
did you
like,
hear any such nonsense? And you just pulled that out of your ass, didn't you? You just made it up. You made that up.
They could be other than bakers. They could be a mixologist. You know, just like something else.
It could be
like
a candlestick maker. I mean, shit, it rhymes. So why not?
You brought up the stick. You're starting it. It's on.
I had candlestick.
Okay,
yeah, we're just gonna put that to bed immediately. Karth, what do you got for me, brother? So far, we're 0-2, badly 0-2 today.
Well, you know, I thought we would dive into the High Republic today, and we would talk about the rock pilot, the sentient rock named Geode.
Really?
I wish it was more of a joke than it is. There's actually a book with the character.
Do you think I would ever want to cover a subject like that unless I was forced to?
I mean, we've done dumber things.
Like, well, we've talked about dumber things. I didn't pick the dumb things. Y'all made that into stupid shit, so that's different.
Well, if we talk about the High Republic, we gotta talk about Grandmaster Yoda, right?
Oh, Cash is gonna get lit up.
Yeah, Cash all of a sudden got all excited. Just a bunch of sugar. No, these are all wrong answers, but I give the idiots a chance to try to guess the subject. So I will now give them the quote. And then see if they can actually get the right answer. The answer is probably not, but we'll give them a shot anyway. So your quote of the day to see if you can get this is, quote, the identity of the architects remains. That's your quote for the day. Let that seep in anywhere it can in your feeble brains. And Karth, you hear that quote?
Sure.
Cover today. What do you?
Either Halo or Mass Effect.
Okay, you're on my shit list now. Just stab yourself. Oh man, I'll poison from that coffee right now. God damn. All right. I'm afraid to go to the next two. Jesus. Big K, what do you got for me? What's your stupid answer? Give it to me.
Indiana Jones.
Okay, shame on you. And then last but not least, Ram.
So
same rules apply. You can't bring up what I already.
No. So I need a little bit more context. I'm gonna dare to say something that no woman has ever said to me.
What?
That's too short of a quote. It's too short.
No,
I need longer.
No, you don't. That's the quote.
So, in light of you refusing to give me context to that quote,
that's why it's called a guess.
I gotta go with Wendy Marstrap. Still, I still.
Of course,
like
you are. That's why you're cut off. You're on a timeout. I want you to go to your room and rethink your life. All right. No, today, the correct answer, those are all incorrect. We're, again, 0-4 on all the guesses. Today, we will be covering the Celestials. And more specifically, we're going to cover the Celestials just in general. But I want to get into the Ones. You guys should be familiar with the Ones, I hope. And then also thrown into that Abloth. I might get too much an Abloth story. I think she deserves her own lore series, but when you talk about the Celestials and their part of the galaxy and what they did, and then we had to cover the Ones, the father, the brother, and the sister, and I'll get into those meanings in a second, but Abloth's got to be, because it's part of the story, but her overall story. I may cover just the general stuff of it today, but if we want to get into like the minutia stuff. She'll get her own series of like all the stuff she did and what she could do. But I just want to cover the Celestials today. Thought we'd take a break from the Sith, guys. So anybody know anything about the Celestials? I mean, if you watch the Clone Wars, you may know some things. Ram, do you know anything about the Celestials? And a lot of stuff dropped here and there about them.
Aren't those the people that like snuck into like Shmi Skywalker's bed one night and impregnated her with Anakin?
No. Darth Sidious. But anyway, moving on. Circle K, you got anything for me? God, you guys are giving some ridiculous answers.
No. I know who they are. It's the father, the brother, the sister. I mean, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give away the ending. I'm keeping it in suspense.
Well, yes, if you saw the Clone Wars. There's a lot that leads up to that. A lot that leads up to that.
Anakin was supposed to be We're gonna get to
why that's a big deal. Yeah. So all right, look at BK coming in with the.
There's a bird.
Okay. Let's leave. That's fine. Enough. Okay. No, this is no.
Superman.
No. All right. Well, there's Carth's answer. He said Superman. That's ridiculous.
Well, you said a bird or a plane. Come on.
Yeah, but this is not the DC universe. So anyway, Carth, I know you're familiar enough with these characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So there you go. All right. Let's get into it. As is tradition, the Celestials, also known as the Architects or Force Wielders, were an ancient species that predates everyone, even the Rakata. They are believed to be responsible for a large number of known artifacts, which we'll mention and cover later. The Jedi and the Sith alike believe that they were the balance between the light and dark side of the Force, and that the Force was actually underneath their guidance. The thing about the Celestials is we're getting into their history. They fall off around the year 30,000 BBY. We'll get into why some speculate what the reason that why that is and why what actually happened. Then we get into after 30,000 BBY when they kind of just, for whatever reason, they just fall off the map of the universe. They're just gone. The ones still remain, and they survived on Mortis until the events of which we mentioned before, the Clone Wars show in 20 BBY with their deaths. And we'll cover that in this, like, if you haven't seen it, I'll give you just the synopsis of what happens. But what is known about the Celestials is are due to their cosmological objects they left behind. Some notable things that they built. First of all, they built whole star systems like the Krillian system, the Voltar system. They also built other things like the Hapes Cluster, the Cathful Rift, and of course, if you've heard about the Great Maul, the Black Hole Cluster, that was created by the Celestial. Now, their identities were considered largely a mystery due to a lack of information on them because they died out or they disappeared so long ago. Evidence of their works leads some to believe that the galaxy was once visited by these aliens. Even their appearance is also something of a mystery. Some said that they were to have like a malleable form. Another theory held that they were a group of discorporeal entities who had merged themselves with the Force to guide the fate of the Force. Some believe that the Celestials were a higher order of intermediaries whose powers were beyond the understanding of mortals. Their origins are unknown. The oldest Kilik, which they have a relationship with, the Celestials, and we'll get into that relationship, and the ones as well, dealt with them the most. And the problem with the Kilniks, though, is that with their history that goes all the way back, their facts and their myths and their legends, they don't make a differentiate. They don't differentiate like fact and fiction, right? You know, what's a legend, what's a myth, and what's true history, right? It's just all kind of combined, so you don't really get, you know, like a good sense of like who they, what they're really saying, and what's really true or not. Unless you have some other corroborating information. But if you play the Old Republic, you get some kind of sense of the Kilniks in that game. So, yeah. So that's kind of an introduction of what is somewhat known about the celestial race. We're going to get into their specifics, but is this ringing a bell for anybody? Questions? We always stop halfway. And we take breaks. I always like to give the idiots time to ask questions, so we'll open it up to questions so far. Oh, he's got some questions for your boy Ranger.
So they're actually a race. They're not just the three, the father, son, and daughter?
Yeah, the father, the son, and the daughter are actually from the race, the Celestial. They are known as the Celestial. Yes, the race is called the Celestial.
Oh,
all
right.
Anybody else? Just shocked we had a decent question.
No, so, all right, I'm going to keep on going.
Yeah, go for it, brother. It's all about what we're here for.
Were the Celestials, like this whole race, they were all like Force users, mm-hmm. or?
Yep, all of them. That's why and we're going to get into some more specifics in their history, what's known through the lore and stuff. Of course, this is all legends and lore I picked up from watching shows or Wikipedia or books I have, you know, so I kind of do all my research and put it all on paper, like the general things that I want to cover. But yeah, we're going to get into their specifics here in a second.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's continue on. So it's believed by 100,000, and remember the Rakata came in around 35,000 BBY. We're talking 100,000 BBY. Whatever the Celestials were, they had dominated the stars and made contact with a number of species in various states of advancement. The one species that needs to be covered that I mentioned before are the Kilniks. They served as labor, and they are the ones that helped them build the astonishing technological stuff that you see from them. And that ranges from assembly of star systems to engineering of hyperspace anomalies. Now, the other races were subservient to the one, the Celestials, like all the races, because they created star systems. We mentioned the Quirling system. We mentioned all this stuff. Part of that group that they came in contact with, besides, there's a whole bunch that they came in contact with that I'm not going to list here, but the Kilniks were the main one that they did a lot of their stuff with, and we'll cover some more of the stuff that they did with them. But all the other groups were, you know, subservient. Some worshiped them as gods, some just, you know, different. Every race had a different way of viewing them. But yeah. Now, around the year 35,000 BBY, this is where things go wrong for the Celestials and where the Rakata take their place. We've talked about the Rakata in other episodes and what their empire was like. The Rakata were servants of the Celestials, but they looked at them like the Rakata thought of themselves more as slaves, but that led them to have a slave revolt. They stole Celestial tech and other tech from other species that the Celestials had shared with, and they waged a war against not only the other servant races, but they waged a war of extermination upon the Celestial. Now, this is one thing that's associated with the decline that some believe led to the decline of the Celestials, is that the Rakata wiped them out. However, the Kilniks, who we've mentioned, the one group that does a lot of stuff with them, they link it to the coming of Abeloth, who in their language and the way they look at her, they call her the Bringer of Chaos. Whichever side you believe, now really it's because of Abeloth, but it's a combination from looking at the lore. It's a combination of the Rakata, the revolt, and them coming into power and then trying to exterminate the Celestials, and the Celestials, you know, taking a back seat, or either being wiped out or taking a back seat. The other part of this is what Abeloth does, because she comes into the picture at this time, and she is just pure anarchy and chaos. So the combination led to just their disappearance. Some speculate that, like Darth Plagueis, that that they were destroyed by the Rakata. Some believe in their lore that they became one with the Force at this point and just became like the the protectors of the Force. You know, they would listen to its will and keep balance in the Force. They merged with the Force and became one with the Force as beings. And then some thought maybe they just left the galaxy altogether. Just said, you know what, screw it. We're done. We're out. We've done our part here. Let's go somewhere else. So that's kind of the thought, but there's no specific thing that is said about the Celestials. All right, now we're gonna get into the ones. We're gonna get into the ones specifically with the father, the brother, the sister, and then Abeloth and their story, because they're the only ones that stayed around, and they were a big part of everything that goes on. Up to this point, any questions so far about the Celestials?
The Celestials were like the all powerful, more powerful than the Rakata type thing, or?
Yeah.
It was like the end all be all.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then the Rakata revolted and then they took prominence. And we've covered the Rakata and what they did and what that led with their battle with the Jedi and other stuff like that. So, yeah. It goes in order.
Rakata bad. Got it.
Yeah, we know how bad the Rakata are. We know what they did.
They were misunderstood.
They were misunderstood. Yes, yes. That's exactly what I thought when I read the Bracata history. Like, God, these poor guys are just misunderstood. If only somebody would just sit down and talk to them. Oh, they tried that. Yeah, with the Sith. Didn't work out well for the Sith. I mean, they just enslaved dark side users and used them to power all their technology. But
That's totally normal.
Yeah, just made slaves out of everybody. Tortured them until they gave into their rage and just use them as human batteries. But I mean, other than that, you're right, Ram.
You don't do that?
Do you do that, Ram?
I will neither confirm nor deny that I have slaves. Yeah,
the answer is deny. Because you're
depends
an idiot.
On what type of weekend he's having.
Ram ain't that good.
Hey, what your mother said last night, Trebek.
Oh, you mountebank. I think you're pretty clever there, Ram, with your Dago mustache and your... What did I just say about racial slurs? I love Celebrity Jeopardy for missing best skits ever. I'll take anal bum cover for $4,000. What? That's an album cover. We're not selling anything.
Take Cuts the Seaman for $600.
Oh, God. Oh, so good. All right, let's get back. Karth, you're being awfully quiet there, buddy.
Yeah, a little bit. Little bit.
Okay, that's fine. Enjoy your coffee then. You didn't ask any questions so far. You must be mulling things over, or you're just not awake.
A combination of all the above.
Okay. All right. So let's continue on. Now let's get into the ones, because that's what the most famous Celestials are. I wanted you guys just to have a there's much more about the Celestials, but that's just a general overview of them, right? Just some stuff, the things that they created. But the ones are really the ones that did a lot of the creation. Like we talk about the Maul, that's the ones. And there was a specific reason why they created it, and we're going to get into that. Now, the ones, as you guys intelligently, shockingly, are correct. The ones are the father, who represents balance, the daughter, who represents the light side of the Force, and the son, who represents the dark side. Now, we know they had a mother. I have no information of the mother originally, other than the Celestials over 100,000 years ago, they came into being. Nothing's mentioned of the original mother. It's just, we know the other three, but we don't know about the original mother. Would die? What? We don't know. She's not in the picture. But that being said, other than not knowing anything, we do know that Abeloth, and that wasn't her name, but her name becomes Abeloth. So I'll just refer to her as Abeloth, was originally a servant of the family. And she kind of steps in she's a servant and she caters to all their needs. But she then steps in for the place of the mother. And this is important because when Abeloth first came into being and what she was doing, she was actually really good. She was a good person and she did good things. But because of the relationship she had with the children and the father and dulted on the father, she took into that mother role. But once she steps in as in the place of the mother, she actually did a really great job. She kept the peace between the warring siblings and kept the father happy because now he's not having to deal with them. And she kept the entire family happy. Not only that, under her guidance, especially the son began to use his destructive powers for something useful. For example, he started carving out caves and passageways in their valley between that and getting the son and the daughter. Because they're not fighting anymore, they were able to restore their home to its former glory. They repaired all the damage and neglect caused by the conflict of the rivalry that had been going on for a long time. So she had the whole family, you know, as a one cohesive unit. And for a very long time, because of course we don't know like the aging process of Celestials. We just know they live a long time. However, we're going to get into it. The father, the son, and the daughter being the representation of the Force were kind of like immortal in that sense, right? Or they lived way longer than most Celestials. So that was Abloth's original intention. She steps in for the mother. She gets the kids to get along. Father enjoys that. Doesn't really mention like their kind of relationship, other than that she dulted on him, but I don't think they got married or anything, you know, in the sense of like how we view it. She just was mom. She was just there. But they never say that she's like the wife of the husband. That makes sense. She's more of just like that mother figure for the kids. Any questions about the origin so far where we're at? Anybody?
We know what you mean by she's making the dad happy. You don't need to, you know, we're adults here. This is an adult show.
Is that where your brain went, Kay?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly where it went. She's stepmom.
She's giving forced hand jobs is what you say.
Oh, someone say stepmom.
What are you doing, stepmom?
Okay. Let's get the porn out of here. Okay, let's continue on before this goes down a horrible track. Okay, so as the years go by, however, the Abloth, who's again serving as the mother, she begins to age. They don't. In her old age, she could no longer control the siblings, and she began to fear that her family would abandon her. So she gets desperate, right? She waits until the kids have one of their epic meltdowns. The dad has to go handle it now. And when he does, one of the things that the ones controlled is they control power. How do they have power? It was basically the representation of the things that they guarded and controlled, right? And they were the only ones that could do this. These were Celestials that had been chosen by the Force to be these aspects and to have these things and protect these things. One of them is that she committed an unspeakable act, which was forbidden. While the father was away and the kids were off doing their shenanigans, she did two things. One, she drank from the font of power, and two, she bathed in the pool of knowledge. Problem, like the other three, who these were made for, or maybe they made it for themselves, it doesn't matter. It's a no-no. There are mortal beings that are supposed to be doing this stuff. She's mortal, right? Remember, she's aging, she's going to die. It was not meant for mortal beings. They had not either been chosen or whatever the circumstances. By doing this, it twisted her completely and corrupted her completely. Yes, she got her power. Yes, she got her immortality. But she was so twisted in mind and body, it turned her into a dark side entity known as what they started calling her Abloth. And that's how the being of Abloth came into being. She was scared. She had fear. You know, she gave in. She thought, you know, if I can just do this, then I won't lose my family. But the consequences of doing what they told her never to do is now she's become the very thing that she was never intended to be. And after the change, because of how it corrupts and twists her, she dominated the kids and made them bow down to her power. The father, when he finds this out, is horrified at Abloth. He steps in and he takes the kids away from Abloth. And that's where they eventually go. They were living on this tropical world and it was beautiful and everything. They end up going to Mortis. And that's where we run into them in 20 BBY with them. Now I want to talk about Abloth. Well, let's talk about after the father takes the kids away, Abloth goes mentally insane. she has this uncontrollable need for people to love her. Period. End of discussion. She is so powerful. When I say she's an entity, she is an entity. She uses her powers and she can do a lot of things, but she makes people love her, and for power's sake, she can devour people. She becomes pure chaos and anarchy in the galaxy. This is the only time that this happens outside of anybody interjecting. The brother and the sister, who never got along and always fought with one another, they banded together. They get with the Killniks. Of course, we talked about how they built all this other stuff with them and create the Maws and imprisonment for Abeloth. But there's nothing that could permanently hold her. So for the next 70,000 years, right? Or 30,000 years up to 20 BBY, she escapes multiple times. Even though they imprison her, that's why they created the Maw with all the black hole entities, the prison, the station, they put her there, but she can get out. And so they always, when that would happen, they would give her the Killniks, they would combine powers, and they would go and imprison her again. Now this leads up to 20 BBY, and then we get to the story of what happens to the ones. If you had not seen the Clone Wars show, this is where Anakin, they get some message from an old Republic. I can't remember, like a general or something from way back when. They send Kenobi, Snips, and Anakin to go investigate. They meet the father, the sister, the brother. There's a whole thing that happens. The father wants Anakin to take his place. Like, he knows he can't do it forever. He needs someone to take his place, to control his kids. Like, he's not going to be around forever. But just watch the show. It ends up, they all end up dying. And so they're no longer around. If you skip ahead to about 60 years into the future in the Legends books, Jason Solo, Jaina and Jason Solo, are the original kids of Han and Leia, not Ben Solo, which is the new canon. After the Vushan Vong Wars, Jason had been, keeping it simple. He'd been in prison. He'd been tortured. He went on this great, journey quest, spiritual quest to learn more about the Force. He ends up traveling to the Maw. He meets Abeloth. It twists him. He rejects Abeloth because she wants him to drink from the font of power and dip in the pool. But he looked at her and he's like, so I can end up like you? I don't think so. He was the one that rejected her, but she does twist him enough that he goes back. And then eventually, if you know the story of Jason, which we will cover, I will cover Jason and Jaina, because they're some of my favorite characters in Star Wars. He does turn to the dark side. He becomes Darth Cade. But she gets out again. And this leads to the whole thing of her finally being defeated. And she gets defeated by none other than Luke Skywalker, and who would eventually become the Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Crate, in her realm. Abeloth can do all kinds of things. Abeloth was crazy. We talked about it with the Vitiate episode, how crazy she was. She had the ability to make people, especially if they had the Force, to manipulate their minds where they would look at everybody like someone you love, like your mother and your father, and think that they're imposters. Everybody was an imposter out to get them and make them go psychotic, where they would try to kill them because they thought that they were not real. They were not real people. So that's what Abeloth, just one of the many things she could do. So that gets the ones. And then we know the story, how the ones ended, and then Abeloth gets imprisoned. But then that's the story. But we'll get into her own specific story, because there's so much stuff there that goes on before she is defeated. But yeah, that's the story of the Celestials. Now, that being said, a little bit shorter one, because there's not a ton of stuff on the Celestials stuff, but the ones, we know their story from the Clone Wars and how their demise happened. We now know why they constructed like the Maw and the certain things they did. One of them was to imprison Abeloth. And Abeloth had some undoing with why the overall Celestials end up leaving the galaxy, because when she does what she does, she actually leads chaos against the Celestials. And on top of that, you got the Rakata doing their stuff. So it's just like a perfect storm of bad stuff that happens. The ones still stay around. They always will be the ones, the father, the brother, the sister. But that's how their entire family dynamic plays out and leads to events in the Clone Wars and then all the stuff that goes on with the books. So that's just a general sense of an introduction. There's not much more about them other than that. There's some cool stuff, like you see the owl following Ahsoka now. That's the daughter. The son, nothing. Father, nothing. But she still follows her. You see it in Rebels, and you've seen it in Book of... No, it was Mando Season 2. You saw her sitting there, the owl, little critter that's always with... That's the daughter still. Or the her vestige. Her parents that she goes in or whatever she wants. So any questions? Let's get to some questions. A lot of stuff I just threw out there. Just general story. There's a lot more to it. We will give Abeloth her own story because it's a whole story of her escapes and some of the stuff that she had, like, so bad. She's such a bad, bad guy. She's really evil in the sense of the word. And, oh boy, she does some really terrible stuff. So let's go around. Any questions for everybody? Actually, we'll give final thoughts here and questions. Let's wrap it up. Let's have a little discussion here with the idiots about the Celestials. Abeloth, questions about the father, the brother, sister, Abeloth, anything like that?
Oh, I had to refresh my memory on it because the brother and sister aren't actually slain in the Clone Wars episode. But the part that gets overlooked is that the brother and the sister's power came from the father as well as their own. So right. When he dies, they lose their immortality. And so that's where they end up losing these fights. Cause I mean, this happens during the Clone Wars era. So by the time, you know, Luke shows up to deal with Abeloth, that's 80 years later. So if they age relatively normal to people, you know, they would be,
I don't think they do. They're still Celestials, but I don't know how that works because,
well, and we don't know how old they were before, right? Yeah. How much they
regress. Know they were born 100,000 BBY, and that's where they come from before then. But again, they don't get into the details of that.
How much do you speed up on that?
Yeah, I don't
know. Do you have the Bilbo effect?
Yeah. I sure would like to see that old ring of mine. No, brother, you can't. We know what happened last time. You tried to destroy the galaxy.
Yeah. The one thing about the ones that I kind of wish is that they did kind of like a... I almost wish that they would do like a Tales of the Jedi spinoff of the ones.
Would love to get a deeper dive into them.
And get a deeper dive onto that. Because like the representation of them in the Clone Wars is them as like literal gods.
Yeah, remember in Rebels they found their one thing that they had built, the time.
Yeah, the world between worlds.
Yeah.
Their ability to time travel to a degree. Mm-hmm. But they they really just don't, like, it's all like cursory, like, you know, this is plot information and that's as far as we go with it, which is fair if you're only going to take 20 minutes to talk about it. But there's just so much that I'd love to learn about them as a whole.
Now the one thing that's interesting, the father, the brother, and the daughter are canon. Abeloth is not canon. He's legend.
Well,
isn't that crazy?
It is to a degree because it seems like if you wanted a really good villain for Star Wars,
oh my God,
that would have been amazing because she is that power level, right? It's like you have a Thanos or better power level of villain, and they're just like, nah, we want to recreate Palpatine. You know, I understand it to a degree why they don't want to. I mean, they would maybe need to approach her differently, because that's one thing that the novels had these
lot of books.
There's a lot of stuff that kind of goes through in getting to that point that they would need to explain better, because that's the downside of having, you know, 20 people write books. You have a lot of inconsistencies in the story of what's how they get to those points. But
Abeloth in the books, she wants Luke to become the new father, his son Ben Skywalker to become the son, and then the girl, the Sith girl they find, I don't know off the top of my head, but to be the daughter, right? They wanted that she wanted that dynamic again. Of course, they all told her to get bent and they all worked against her, and Luke defeated her in the physical world barely, but then he had to go to the other realm that she occupies, and him and Darth Krayt are the ones that took her out.
That makes me feel like when the SWTOR writers came up with the fight for Vitiate at the end.
Yeah, and it was more about wills at that point. I mean, they were doing damage to one another that they did suffer. Both Luke and Crate suffered physical damage in that fight, but it was one of those weird fights. But that's what she wanted. That's what she came back for, is to create the family. Because at that point, not really mentioned in the books, but they guess with the event, she couldn't find them. She's like, well, I'll just create my family again, because that's what she wanted. She wanted her family, you know, as sick as she was, that's what she wanted. And then she was going to do whatever it took to do that. But yeah, there's a huge confrontation with her all over, on Coruscant, all kinds of places. She takes over the Jedi Temple. I mean, she does all kinds of stuff, like, easily.
I do what I want.
Yeah, she's bad news. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I wish they would go, I'd love to get a Tales of the Jedi or something on more about the Celestials and the War. I mean, there's some other stuff we're going to cover, like the Wills and things of that nature, but these are beings that are outside the scope of what happens, because we've been talking about, like, Darth Revan and Exar Kun and Bishop, but these are tangible characters. These aren't, like, spiritual higher beings that we're talking about in abstract to try to, you know, tell you about their story, you know, so it's a little bit, you have to think about them differently than, say, like, Exar Kun, right? That had his plan and stuff like that. It's a total different thing.
Right. Well, when you get to a group of people that can literally play outside the sandbox, like, yeah. Hell, they could, if they felt like it, they could create additional sandboxes to play in.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a thing. I mean, and that's always the one thing that you have to overcome when you're trying to tell a narrative, is you get to a certain power creep and you got to be like, all right, well, how do we deal with this?
Yeah. Yeah. Ram and Kay, you're both being very quiet. That makes me nervous. Car's actually giving some good insights here. I'm terrified.
All right, I think I can summarize this.
Okay.
So Abalos, she originally starts out, she's like the hot trophy wife stepmom.
Servant.
She's the hot trophy wife stepmom. Let's just
call it. Okay, that's what you want to call her. That's wrong.
I mean, she starts as a servant and gets promoted rather quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably has some pretty pretty pristine buffing skills.
We know how. But then she's getting old, so she's losing her looks. She's you know not being able to keep up. So she's afraid that she's going to get replaced with a new trophy wife. So she tries to take a bath, which leads to like a bad plastic surgery. And really messes her up.
Yeah.
So then she just turns into evil and like the wicked stepmom and like.
Good way of looking at it. I mean, it's not a bad way to look at it, but yeah, kind of.
Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, it's not a bad way of looking at it. not wrong, not bad, Karth or Kay. So.
I should have been the lore master for this one. I could have got this episode done in 10 minutes.
But we know you could. Yeah, that's just total bullshit. He couldn't have.
Yeah, but the intro song would have to be different.
Yeah, he'd be like him going.
That's true.
I'm K. I'm giant big K. Drinking my bourbon, talking bullshit.
Oh, I was thinking of like a specific website's intro to their videos. that you might have to get copyright struck down for. Whatever that sound is, I can't replicate.
Oh, I can visualize and attack that sound right now.
Mm-hmm. Please don't.
Hey. Now there's Ram. Ram now joins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we start talking about, you know, certain websites and things like that. You
just
know,
stay I'm, on target. I'm, just stay I'm on the goddamn topic. What do you want to ask?
Well,
in fairness, Ranger, Ram is trying to promote his own channel, so you know.
I don't care about that right now.
It's just not on YouTube.
Yeah.
It is on YouTube. It's just
heavily censored.
Very, very heavily censored.
I thought it was on a certain type of hub.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It is on a hub. Can confirm.
There you go.
All right, back to
Star Wars. Ram, any questions, comments about what we just covered, you psycho?
Obviously, we didn't cover Abeloff too much, but if the Celestials are all these big, powerful people, and they're like the end-all, be-all gods, and they have access to the world between worlds and things like that, why didn't Abeloff just go into the world between worlds and like change?
She may not have known about paper? It. She may not have known about it, right? I mean, it could have been something they created after they imprisoned her. She never knew about it. you know,
I think
so.
Rebels has a conversation about that because it's accessing it is like super, super, super
difficult.
Yeah.
Ezra made it look pretty easy.
Yeah, but Ezra's that, you know, it's the thing with a lot of the Star Wars stories that they tell is that, A, you know, 20-minute story arc. Yeah, plot armor is real. Plot winning devices. But then there's like, there's certain situations of like, it's like, it's just oversimplified, but like saying like the chosen one, right? Like you were destined to access this at this time kind of thing. Like that's how they get around a lot of that stuff in Star Wars. It's like, they knew the need would be great enough and it would come to those who needed it, you know?
Yeah.
So it would be kind of that idea, but I'm trying to think back on how Palpatine gets access to it. Because I know that happens.
He knows about it. Darth Plagueis knew about the ones and stuff. I mean, they knew about the Celestials and stuff. And of course, the Empire was there and they knew about it. And of course, probably was very good at Sith sorcery and accessing things and stuff. So he, you know, he was all about having that info. And so yeah, he gets access not to the site itself, but through that door where he uses this, you know, the alchemy fire to attack Ezra and Ahsoka in the world. Yeah. But I don't think he would have ever been able to access. And I bet you the Celestials, even if Abeloth had found that, probably would have had barriers and stuff to keep her from getting in.
Well, and I think the other thing too, like Ahsoka brings up as well, is that it's a complicated thing where like there are certain things that if you mess with it, it irrevocably like can erase parts of time because that for the rest of what needs to happen to have taken place, this needs to happen. I think that even if Abeloth did have access to it, if she did anything to mess with the Celestials in their being whatsoever, she would erase herself from existence. Yeah. So I think there it becomes this thing. It's like you get very limited areas to where you can go, all right, we can change this detail.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's why Ahsoka, you've seen the Rebel show, she walks back and stays where she is because she knows she has to not be involved with anything that moves forward from that point. When Ezra saves her, she's like, okay, she got it immediately. Like, uh-oh, yeah, I can't. Because Ezra's like, well, come back with me. She's like, no, I can't do it. You know, there's a reason why this stuff has to happen. And why she tells me he can't save Kate, right?
Yeah.
There's certain reasons why, because Ahsoka just being wiser, much, you know, and older, knows the deal. So, yeah, but it's really fascinating. I mean, the Celestials create a lot of stuff that was left in the galaxy, but we don't know for sure what happened. Either they were wiped out by the Rakata, or they left, or they just became one with the Force and said, you know what, we've done our part, we out. You know, we don't want to deal with you knuckleheads anymore. And the ones stayed around, though. The ones took their role seriously. It's like the Force, I don't know, picked them or something, and they just became those aspects of balance, dark side and light side of the Force. But the Celestials were all about balance, you know, keeping the balance in the Force. And they had tremendous power in the Force. I mean, you can tell by the stuff they created. I mean, you create whole solar systems. Yeah, I think you're pretty powerful. That's pretty dope, you know. I mean, Corellia itself is a creation, and that system is the other systems are creations of the Celestials and what they did. So, I mean,
I have a theory of what happened to them.
Oh, God. Okay. Big K, what do you got for me?
Well, when Marty McFly entered.
Okay, no. No.
Changed the future.
No.
And.
No.
All right. My theory.
That's wrong.
It's going to be award-winning content right there. Wait, just cut him off.
No, it's not.
Just you wait until...
Marty, we've got to go back.
Yeah. Next season, Mandalorian... it'll be Mandalorian 5. They're going to explore that.
Mandalorian, Back to the Future. That'd be hilarious.
All right, any final thoughts or conjecture or stupidity from the idiots before we get out of here?
I didn't think our conversation was stupid.
It was pretty stupid, yeah. No, there was some good stuff, very intellectual, stimulating things, and then there was things that, shame on you. Boo this man in the comments. All right. With that, we're going to wrap this one up. So this will go out. Remember, if you're Patreon, you get this much earlier than everybody else. We also appreciate your input on the lore series from the Patreon. So think about coming to Patreon. Thumbs up and subscribe on the video, all that good stuff. And then, of course, leave comments, interact with the video, watch all the way through, and give us your thoughts. We do like comments. So make them constructive. That's all we ask. Just make them constructive. Even if you didn't like it, then, you know. And if you want to throw in some stuff that, again, I'm doing general stuff on these videos. I'm not getting into the minutiae details. You know, feel free to throw those little fun things in. They're always appreciated. So with that, we're going to wrap this one up. So on behalf of myself, Big K, Karthrick, and Rambam, thank you guys for joining us on another episode of Star Wars Lore with the Idiots. Have a great rest of your day. See you when we see you. Peace out.